This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington talking with Rosie Samter. She's the violist of the Videri String Quartet. And wow, it's really fun to catch back up with you again.
It's great to talk to you again.
You guys have had quite a year, really, with all these wonderful performances, Austin City Limits, GDC in San Francisco, PAX East, and you're getting ready for a fantastic sounding performance at MAGFest. So wow, what a year, huh?
Yes, it's been quite busy. We keep ourselves very busy.
Well, that's good. That's better than the alternative, for sure. And, you know, it kind of seems like you guys are sort of riding this wave of concert performances of game music that have really taken off in the last year. So did you even imagine that you guys would be this busy as the Videri String Quartet?
No, I don't think any of us ever really imagined it. I mean, we've actually, this is, I would say, actually our third year of being extremely busy. So, I mean, at this point, we kind of expect it. But, you know, like back when we started, we never dreamed that it would be like this. So.
Yeah, because it started as just kind of a fun thing for you guys, right?
Yeah, it really started. I mean, you know, it started with Jeff Williams, the composer of the for Red versus Blue and Ruby series on Rooster Teeth. And it really started as like he wanted to have a string quartet open for one of his shows, and he and I are friends, and so it was like, hey, let's do this, it'll, you know, it'll be fun. It just kind of took off from there. So
yeah, no, it's been great. And this performance at MAGFest just sounds amazing, because you're going to be collaborating with Austin Wintory and with Angela Bermudez, who's this amazing artist, and she'll be painting as you're performing Austin's music. And I'd love to know how all these kind of threads came together.
So we're very excited about it as well. And it actually took quite a while to come together, because it was really kind of like, you know, it was just really one of those things where one person had an idea and then we kind of just went with that. So, I mean, it started out as, oh, we should do music from Journey and have someone paint. And so at first it started out as we were going to need to play only music from Journey. And so, you know, like us over here, we only have our 1 7-minute arrangement from Journey. So, like, oh, we need an hour. Let's figure this out. And then so after talking, it was like, oh, but an hour's worth of Journey music, that might, you know, that might not be as fun as you might think. You know, it is great, but I think the soundtrack itself is only 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay. And so then Austin came up with the idea of, oh, well, let's do any music composed by Austin Wintory, which was, I liked that idea much more. It just gives so much more options.
Oh, definitely.
So then, you know, and so it was just a lot of back and forth between just kind of like, oh, well, what about this? Oh, and what about this? So, and then, you know, I think what's going to happen is we're going to play for half an hour, and then Austin Wintory is going to play it on piano and improvise on his own music with some guests for half an hour, which I think is going to be great.
Wow.
So.
And then you've got the artistic component too, with Angela painting. She says just whatever kind of pops into her mind if she's listening to the music. So that aspect too, I think, is really interesting.
I'm actually really excited about that, because we've never done anything like this before. One thing about our quartet is that we take the music very, very seriously. And, you know, we're all classically trained musicians, so we're all very, you know, like, you know, when we rehearse with the same intensity we rehearse classical quartets, because we also play traditional repertoire. And so we've always been kind of, I would say, kind of wary against adding a visual component, because so many times when you add a visual component, it's all about the visual component, and it stops being about the freedom and the expressivity mm-hmm. of the music. So this is the first time we've ever added a visual component. And it's so, for us, it's kind of exciting, especially since this isn't like a set video that we accompany. It's really a collaboration.
Yeah, it's going to be neat. And it kind of is like turning the tables, because there are so many pieces of music inspired by art, like pictures at an exhibition and the Botticelli triptych and stuff. And so this way it's art inspired by the music, which I think is a really cool way of kind of flipping it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we're excited about it. I mean, like I said, it's like nothing we've ever done. So it's very, like we all kind of are, we're all a little curious to see what it's going to turn into.
So what Austin's music is so incredibly special, and it's so well crafted and emotional. And how did you sift through it all to decide what pieces you chose for this program?
So, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, a lot of it was what we already had. Just because, currently two of our members, our first violinist and our cellist, are working on their graduate. Performance diplomas. So we don't have tons of time to rehearse. And so we were really looking, it's like we already have these pieces. these pieces will work really well. And so then it really became more of a, like, let's fill in the blanks. Like, what do we need? You know, because we have a 7-minute Assassin's Creed arrangement. And so it's like, well, we have some Assassin's Creed. Then, and it, you know, it's an arrangement. So it really covers a lot of the, you know, I would say a lot of the different genres and styles that are in Assassin's Creed. So we didn't really need anything else from that. But what we didn't have was Abzu, because that's new.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a major focus, was trying to get those Abzu pieces, because that soundtrack is just unbelievable. And we really didn't want to leave that out.
No, of course not. And I think what's so cool about Austin's music is that it's unbelievably well written. So it's not, at least to my mind, not a big stretch to move it over to a string quartet, because it's all, you know, his writing is for chamber ensemble a lot of times anyway. And your arranger, Lizzie Jones, just does such an awesome job of creating these beautiful arrangements. So it sounds like it's going to be a really, really neat little kind of overview of Austin's music.
Yeah. And I do have to say that, I mean, Lizzie is one of our arrangers, but we have another arranger who works with us frequently, David Peacock.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he's actually going to be there. So I'm really excited about that, because we, you know, he does, Lizzie arranges for us a lot too. We actually have tons of arrangers. It's awesome.
Wow.
But yeah, we really try to utilize a lot of different arrangers, because you get such different sounds.
Thank you.
Yeah,
from
I
different people.
yeah, definitely. And you don't tend to use kind of the same old themes, or when you do, you kind of sneak them in a really interesting way. When I shared one of your arrangements of your performance of the Halo Suite with Mike Salvatore, who was one of the composers, he was really surprised, and he thought the way that you arranged it was just so cool. So.
That one, I mean, every arrangement, it's like they have such interesting backstories to them, but like that particular arrangement, we got that right before we played at RTX in 2012, and it's like you can't show up to a Rooster Teeth convention and not play a Halo arrangement. It's just not, you can't do it because that whole company was founded on Halo. But so like we were going through and listening to the different arrangements we wanted in there, and I of course was like flipping through, and I was like, oh, this title has a horse in it. I've been an avid like horseback rider, horse enthusiast my entire life, and so I was like, I like this one because it's Behold a Pale Horse. But it also works really well for string quartet. So I mean, but the only reason that particular song was in there is because it did have horse in it.
Well, I can totally get behind that because I've got a horse, and so, yeah, I mean, he's a big part of my life, so.
I saw that on, I think it was your Twitter profile for a while.
Yeah, Tonka was an internet star for a little bit, but
But we actually like our arrangements, we take them very, very seriously, and we actually encourage our arrangers to really put their own touch on it, because so much, it's like it's really, one thing we come up against over and over is that there's these great themes, but they don't really necessarily tell a story on their own because they're not, they're meant to be, the accompaniment to a story, that's on the screen. So you really need to, like, in order to really turn it into a programmatic piece, which is what we need, you really have to almost the compo or the arrangers have to compose the transitions to really make it work.
Yeah, I'll bet, because not all of the soundtracks are with every piece in the same key either. Plus, I mean, just for variety, just so you guys don't go crazy, you probably want to change keys now and then too.
So it's been really, I mean, it's been really fun, from where we started out, where everything was like almost a direct transcription from what it was in the music, for, to us realizing that that's not what worked for us and that's not what we wanted, and the composers realizing that they had all this freedom. So, yeah, it's been, I mean, it's really fun. I mean, of course, you every once in a while you do want to play a direct transcription, but for the most part, we really are looking for, complete performance pieces.
Yeah, with transitions and, like you say, transitions, different changes of mood and that kind of thing. And one of the things that I've really discovered about doing this series is how I guess durable the music from games is, because it's like Bach. It can really withstand being transferred to different instruments and being orchestrated in some cases, or whittled down to just a string quartet. And so it almost sounds seems like you guys have kind of an infinite catalog of pieces you can choose, which must be really exciting.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, like, I've been shocked too, because I really, like, David Peacock has been with us since the beginning, back in like 2012. Like, he's been one of our arrangers since then. He and I are really the longest standing members of the quartet. And I remember there was a piece that he wanted to arrange, and it was a piece from Ghost in the Shell Universe, which is this like techno piece, and he's like, I'm gonna arrange this for you guys, and I was like, no, this will never work. Like, this is gonna be terrible. I was like, okay, whatever, just do it. And it's amazing. And so the fact that you can take pieces that are, they can sound like anything, and you can really turn it into a string quartet, as long as you're not trying to recreate exactly what it sounds like, and as long as you're willing to be able to change things.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing that also is so I think kind of a signature idea with game music is that so much of it has to have a really great memorable melody. So once you've
Yes.
got that, you can really kind of go off and create what you want with it.
Yes. And I think that that's what's really important too to the listeners, because it's like it doesn't matter what setting it's in. If you hear that theme, like for example, if you hear the Mario theme, you know exactly what it is. You know exactly where it's from, and you're reminded of that immediately. So, you can do so much with it because it doesn't take much to remind your listeners
Yeah.
where it's from.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that people love about game music is hearing a melody that just takes them back to, when they beat that really nasty boss that they were stuck on for like 2 hours or whatever.
Well, and I think too, because I never, I think I've told, I tell this to everyone I know, but I'm really not a video gamer at all. Like, I really don't play. And so, like, this video game music to me, when I first was introduced to it was just music. Like, it really had no, like, I was like, why do people love this so much? I don't understand. And really, the more that I talk to people, the more I realize that it is nostalgia, and it is, a connection to something. Like, for the most part, I would say almost all the time, video games are a safe place. It's something you do for fun. And you're immediately reminded of like that time that's a safe, happy, I don't know, like more adjectives describing that. But it's just a safe place.
Yeah,
And I
it's kind of an outlet and a way to just kind of get rid of the world for a while and just get lost in another
Yes.
world. Yeah.
Very well said. I think it's incredible that music does that. It can immediately transport you into that time and that mental frame. I think composers have been doing this for ages, even like the Greek, way back in classical, Greece, they had all the different, oh,